Okay, thank you. We'll move on to the next talk in this session now. And I'd like to hand over to Caroline, who's the repository team leader at Penn State University, to talk about their Scholarsphere migration to PCDM. Thank you.
Hello. So I want to say that this talk was originally touted as the Scholarsphere migration to PCDM. We moved our data. You can too. I'm a little bit of an optimistic person, so I thought we'd be done. But we are moving our data. So I had to change the title a little bit to reflect the actual reality of the situation. So a couple months ago, I was excited. I thought we would be done. And I'm excited. We'll be done. Just not now. So during this talk, I'm going to talk about the data model migration, the design that we looked at, and what design choices we made when deciding how to move our model from the generic file-centric view to the PCDM work-centric view. And then I'm also going to look at some of the data migration tools. Those were supposed to be done. There's some vaporware there, but anyway, we'll talk about it. So just so everybody's on the same page, I put the Sophia 6 model on this screen. So Sophia 6 model is a very file-centric model. There's a file for everything you upload into the system, and then you can collect those files into a collection, but that's basically it. PCDM adds this concept of a work, a multiple file object that has metadata associated with that object and has multiple binary streams. So it's a little bit more complex. You have the idea of a work that contains file sets. The file set is one item, one uploaded item, and all of its derivatives that you'd like to put with it. Thumbnails, that's why I have two to n, because it's usually the original content and the thumbnail. And then additionally, any other derivatives that you're creating, medium quality derivatives or anything like that. So we looked at these different models and we thought there were a couple options that were logical for migrating. In the original Sophia 6, there's a batch, a generic file, and a collection, and there are three objects in the new one, three main objects, a generic work, a file set, and a collection. So you could just go one-to-one. Everything that was uploaded at one time, which is the batch in the Sophia 6 instance, would get pushed into a generic work. The generic file would become the file set, and the collection would be the collection. I love collections. Collection becomes collection. Then with the other thing we thought about was that a generic file would become a generic work and a file set. The batch would become a relationship between works, and a collection would become a collection. And so the batch, again, I forgot to speak about it in the first set, is the files that were uploaded at the same time. So to make our decision between these two logical options, and I'm sure there are more, these are just the two that we looked at, we started asking questions. How do Scholarsphere users currently use the data sets that, how are they using Scholarsphere? What do Scholarsphere users see when they put their data into Scholarsphere? And what option is going to make the most sense for the majority of users? We know we can't make everyone happy, so let's try for the majority and then see how we can help the others. So taking a look at the use pattern of Scholarsphere, you can see that the majority of users are uploading one item at a time. 87% of our data in Scholarsphere was uploaded a single file at a time. We have a very small minority of people that uploaded large batches containing 10 or more, and then there's this medium group that have a 2 to 10, that's 11% of our batches. So, and 10 is kind of an arbitrary number, but in my mind, more than 10 would be hard for me to manipulate by myself. Less than 10, I could probably do some manipulations within the UI. So that's the reason I picked that number. So currently, the way that a batch is shown to the user after they've uploaded is just this really small portion of the metadata on a generic file. So the batch has no entity in the current UI once people have uploaded. It's just relationships between one generic file and another generic file. And then the other thing we looked at is how's the public facing? How are they seeing our data? And so we know that every uploaded file in ScholarSphere is visible, if it's public, to the users. And in PCDM, file sets are not displayed in the search results by default. So we concluded to go with the option number two. It maintains our relationship between search hits. It maintains the current visibility of the batch in the UI. It wasn't really visible to the users. Even though it was an object in the back end, it wasn't a concept. And for 87% of our users who were just uploading one file, this fits pretty well. We actually have a plan to engage our larger batch users to find out if there's a way that we can help them migrate their data. So our librarian, Rob Ollendorf, is actually planning to engage those users and see, you know, is this one set of data? Would it be behind a work? Or is it really a collection? You know, what is that? So this was our conclusion. It's not necessarily going to fit everybody's conclusion. So we're going to build some tools in Sophia 6 and Sophia 7 to help for migration. So we designed the tools. And there's three different portions: survey, migrate, validate. You could say that the middle box is the only thing that's needed, but I'm actually a little bit paranoid. I want to know that every single thing that was in my repository when I started is in my repository when I ended. And I don't necessarily trust me to make sure that in the same process that that's happened. So that's why we break it out into the survey, validate, and migrate. So survey is going to just go in there and list everything in your repository and the type that it started at. So I have this many generic files. I have this many collections. And what we did in the past with the Fedora 3 to Fedora 4 migration, we put that into an active record, database record. And so that's the plan. I do want to point out that we actually did have a problem between Fedora 3 and Fedora 4, and the survey and the validate did catch it. So there were some objects in our repository that were just a little tweaked wrong, and when they got migrated, they got tweaked a lot of bit wrong. You know, it kind of goes in that pattern of little bit to big. So you may think you can skip it, but I wouldn't. Then we have the part of the migration we have is the export. So the plan is to export all of our items from the repository in a JSON format, and that does not mean the content, just the metadata. You know, we don't really want to copy our repository out of the repository and then copy it back in. So, and then the import would take those files that were exported, and it will go ahead and take those and import those into the repository, and as it goes, it will go and connect to the Sophia 6 repository, pull the content in, and put it into the PCDM repository. And then the verification step that says, I had all these items to begin with, they were of this certain type, I now want to make sure that I have the same items in the end, and obviously, there's going to be a migration step, so they just have to be the correct type. They don't necessarily have to be the same type. With Fedora 3, yep.
I just was going to ask, is surveys intended to also include objects other than generic files and collections? Like, if you have nested metadata objects, are those supposed to be picked up by the survey as well, or is it just the intention that they'll sort of be included in with the generic file, and as long as the file's there, then you're set?
Well, so that's the approach that we've taken, is that as long as the top-level object is there where you expect it to be, then you're set. That doesn't mean that somebody else couldn't expand upon survey. We do have, the first portion of this is actually implemented, and the survey tool allows you to just say which items you're interested in surveying. So you could, in fact, survey all of the permissions possibly in the repository if you want to make sure that those are all. I'm paranoid to a point. So I figure the export and the import, if they can't do their job, on individual objects, then I haven't tested well enough. You know, it's fairly easy to make sure that it's doing its job on each individual object. But to make sure that the entire corpus comes is why the survey and the verifier are there. Yep. And then, let's see, so we already went to verify. We've created some tools in Sophia 6.7, and that's released. There's a Sophia survey and a Sophia export, which are executables. And then we are planning to put into a Sophia PCDM. And I didn't say 7 here because I'm not 100% sure where, what version. You know, the version numbers tend to escalate, and we're teasing that in Sophia 11 we'll be able to migrate to Sophia 7. That's teasing. That's beyond, but I'm not sure what version, so I just put PCDM here. And important to note that we've been creating a help on each of these executables, so you can go in and run --  help and get information about how to run them. We have built-in extension points, and we also have items for not taking your entire repository, but debug options to just export one item so you can see what's going to happen. The survey, this is our model for survey. So the executable is probably what you're going to look at and run. But if you wanted to go in and add different items into your survey, you could override. The survey item is an active record or a database item, and that's where we're actually storing the information that we're going to then go back and verify on. So for Sophia export, we have the executable at the top layer, and you can pass in what objects you're looking to export. By default, we're going to export collections and generic files because that's what's in Sophia, in a vanilla Sophia. But we have this concept of converters so that you can add in your own converter, and you can additionally register a new converter on the executable to say, I'm going to export my generic files, but not the way that vanilla Sophia does it, another way. So the actor is just there to go through all of the files and convert them. And the conversion is actually just going to JSON. So Hector Carrera, who is not in here, and I'm going to shake my fist at him for leaving Penn State, he came up with this idea that if we just put everything into attributes of a plain old Ruby object, the toJSON for Ruby will create the correct hierarchies of JSON for us, and we don't have to do any of that stuff. So all we have to do is say, these are the attributes that we're exporting, and then Ruby does it for us, which is really quite nice. So if you need to create a new converter, it's really quite easy. So this is just an example of the JSON that comes out. This is a collection. I really only want you to see that it recursively contains permissions, and for files it would contain versions. So it's not just the top level metadata that's coming out, it's all the way down the tree. So this is where the train comes off the tracks. So Sophia 7 import and validate. I was hoping that this would be implemented. I am this close to maybe a first PR for this, but we do have a design, so that's what I'll go over here. And we have tickets in Sophia, so if anybody wants to work on it, they are welcome too. So it's looking very similar to the export. We have the executable where you can tell what files you're going to come in. One thing is that we said that the JSON files, we didn't give the debug options of only importing one. You can move one file to a directory and have it run on that directory. So that's why there's no numbered models. And then we have the additional ability to pass in different translators for each of your original classes. So if you see, we've got a generic file translator and a collection translator. And then below that, we've got builders. So the translator is going to know how to go between a generic file and the generic work and the file set. And then the builder is going to know how to build an individual item from the metadata that came out of the generic file. And then validate, it's going to assume that it has access to that active record database. It's going to go through and make sure that everything has been moved to the appropriate thing. So if you see here, we're actually going from collection to collection. I love collections. And then generic file by default is going to go to a generic work. So that's that top level that we're validating. We're not actually validating the file sets below. So.
That's okay. Go back a couple of slides. Export factor, is that, should that say import factor?
It should.
Okay.
Yeah? My slide validators didn't do. Darn it. All right, so you have more metadata than the generic Sophia 6. You added another model. You don't agree with the choices that I outlined at the beginning of this slide package. You're going to need to extend the tools. And my hope is that we've made them extensible enough for you to be able to do this easily. So we have, so I'm going to give you some examples of extending the initial export and survey. And then, of course, the train goes off the track again. So do you have just generic files and collections? You don't really need to change anything with the survey. But maybe you added your own model. So you want to survey generic files, collections, and my model. So you can just add that to the list. And what the survey is doing is going through an active Fedora find. And so it just says, oh, my model, let me find all of them. And that's the only change that you need to do on the survey. For extending the export, you're going to have to add another converter. If you want to change it, that's the extension point. So I created a My Generic File Converter, and I added some additional attributes. My attribute, obviously, I'm not good at making up examples. But, you know, inherit from the generic file converter, let the generic file converter do what it did, and then add your own attributes, and you're done. It shouldn't be too hard. And then you pass the exporter to the executable. So I say for generic file, I'm going to use, instead of the default, I'm going to use my generic file converter, and I'm going to let collections be collections. Again, I love collections. So, extending the import. Unfortunately, this is all vaporware at this point, so I can't give you concrete examples, but it's a similar idea. Create a new translator class, create a new builder, pass those classes to the import. Cross our fingers, it works. So I have some links. The slide packet is in the agenda for today. So you can go and look at those. There's export code in Sophia 6.7, the migration tickets. And then I did a little ScholarSphere demo to validate that my slides were correct. So the branch is out there and you can take a look at that. It runs. So any questions? Yes? How many objects do we have? That is a good question. I don't have the number off the top of my head. Dan, do you have that number?
6,000?
Ish. Okay.
Would this work with 300,000?
If you had enough disk space. I mean, it's actually outputting one at a time. That's part of the reason that we did the JSON version, is so that you don't have to bring your whole repository into memory. And so you're just working on one object at a time. So I haven't tried that. But I don't see why it wouldn't. Additional questions?
Yeah? I know several of us are on a similar track in terms of adopting Sophia 7, running some flavor of Hydra on Fedora 3 now. There's a lot of good feedback from the recent community sprint. Would this, completing this effort, be a good excuse for another community sprint?
It certainly could be. It'll depend on schedule and timing, but yes, completing this effort could be a good reason for another sprint. Completing any effort in Hydra is a good reason for a sprint. I mean, come on, let's get together.
I'm just thinking that you're developing this tool for your migration, but many of us are going to be maybe in 6 to 8 months needing to do our migrations.
Right, yeah, and so I can see, like, your guys are coming from Curate, correct? And so I could see where you could actually kind of leverage some of the framework of this and create your own translators to go from Curate Works to PCDM Works. And so because it's JSON files that are coming in and it's accessing pointers in Fedora for getting the content, it should work-ish. I can't promise. Any additional questions?
No? I just would say that I've done some of that extension on the export side, and it was super easy, and it worked really well. So
awesome. Yay. So I will say that I am presenting this, but it's the whole team at Penn State that did this design. We sat down in a room together before Hector left. And so it was myself and Hector and Adam that did the design. Yes?
I have a question about how you're envisioning the actual logistics of the migration. I imagine you don't want your Fedora 6 repository changing once you start the survey process or certainly the export process. So it's partly a question how you envision managing that. And you said you had 6,000 objects. Do you have estimates on how long it will take to do that migration, so that those of us who do have 350,000 objects can perhaps extrapolate?
So I haven't gotten to the point where I have an estimate. I am going to base my answer based on our Fedora 3 to Fedora 4 migration. And what we ended up doing is actually going into Fedora and setting it to be read-only. And we had the system down for, it was approximately a day, so that we could do our migration and do our survey and validate. The actual migration, I don't think it took that long. I think it was more along 8 hours, but this is different code, so I can't give you a time estimate on how long that would be. More questions?
Okay, well, right. The opportunity, I'm sure you're around for the rest of the
week. Absolutely, yes. Contact me if you have any additional questions you think about. Thank you.
Otherwise, thank you.